This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to a mindful Ramadan. Hospitality is one of the cornerstones of Islam. The relationship is triangular. It consists of the host, the guest, and Allah. And we see hospitality as a right rather than a gift. And so we want to reflect on how important it is for us to be hospitable, to be inclusive, not only when we have guests over, but also when we're interacting with others in our communities, in our masajids. And we have a wonderful guest today, a dear friend of mine, mashallah, Sister Lauren Booth. She is a highly sought after writer, presenter, and public speaker. Her focus is in the creation and delivery of content offering Muslim narratives across multiple platforms. She currently hosts two YouTube series on faith and politics and health and care for the environment, mashallah. In 2019, she adapted her well-received memoir into a one-woman show, which she performed to excellent reviews at the world's largest art gathering, Edinburgh Festival. She offers online and group training to adults and young people in public speaking, TV techniques, authenticity, and she is the author of Finding Peace in the Holy Land. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First of all, I'm very sorry to all of your listeners for having to listen to that rather long list. May Allah forgive us and make us better.
I know, mashallah. You've worked hard. You've done some impressive things, and it's inspiring for the sisters. When they hear this, you will inspire others to do the same, inshallah. I had the pleasure of meeting you in Ottawa when we were panelists. We were speaking at the same conference, and it was lovely because I felt like we hit it off immediately.
Yeah, for sure. You're someone that I didn't forget. And you know, when you travel to so many conferences, people become a sea of faces, and then these wonderful images and these wonderful characters stay with you. And for sure, mashallah, tabarakallah, two souls met on that day.
Mashallah. And we also experienced South Africa together. We went on the safari, and that was really exciting. That was really an experience of a lifetime.
You know what was the experience? Was actually the people. You know, there were real, do you remember the sportsman who taught about how to be an inspirational character? And and yeah, of course Sheikh Idris Khamisa.
He's wonderful. He's everyone's uncle. I like it. He was terrific, made us feel so welcome. And actually, this is a great starting point for our topic because it's hospitality. And I truly felt so welcome. And they were the most hospitable people. And so this is a great starting point for our talk. Let us know, how were you welcomed into Islam? And what kind of hospitality did you experience?
SubhanAllah, the first time that I really experienced Muslim hospitality was in 2005, and it would be in the West Bank of Palestine. Oh. I was there as a journalist covering the story of elections for a newspaper. And I was just walking around meeting people, which you're not really supposed to do because there's a mm-hmm. protocol. You know, Palestine is made to appear a scary place. So the first thing you're done as a non-Muslim is told, stay in your hotel to be safe. Mm-hmm. Well, I completely ignored that because that
you didn't follow the rule.
I didn't follow the protocol, and it looked so interesting and so different and vibrant. And so, oh my goodness. I mean, the first incident I remember was, it was January and I didn't have a big coat because I thought it was going to be hot like the desert because I hadn't done my research. And an old lady came up to me and started speaking in very rapid Arabic and looking me up and down like, who's this strange woman with her, you know, wandering around without a coat. And then she just pulled me by the arm into her house.
Oh, subhanAllah.
And I thought, subhanAllah. And it was quite a humble house. And she took me into the bedroom. And she opened a cupboard and she looked at the size of me and looked at the coats and took out a coat and put it on me and showed me to the door. Allahu Akbar.
She gave you a coat.
She gave me a coat. She wrote down her phone number so that I could give it back. But she didn't know if I was ever going to see her again.
Oh, that's beautiful. So she looked out for you. She felt that you're cold and she brought you to her home and give you that. That's a beautiful introduction to Islam, right?
That's quite something on any city, anywhere. And it really struck me that, are these people real? Are you for real? The second incident really that I'd say that shook me was, you know, again, it's generosity when people are hosting you. And hosting for Muslims, I believed, meant hosting you in their land. The minute you came off the plane, you were automatically their guest. Okay. Nice. So if you can imagine, if we were to do that in London, like everybody who's coming to London, I consider me to be hosting you and it's my duty to look after you. Do you see how wide ranging that would be?
Yes, right? I got goosebumps thinking about that. It's just they see a foreigner as like as a guest of the country, not just individual. Oh, beautiful. So you felt that. You felt the hospitality, you felt welcomed.
I didn't think of it as hospitality. I honestly felt like I was family.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And that, I think that's an important distinction, right? In that when someone is just being kind versus feeling like family, and that's what the feeling I had in South Africa while we were there and while they were taking care of us. And it's just, you do feel like family. I went to buy souvenirs. I picked out my stuff and the sweet lady came and paid for everything. And I thought that's something like an aunt would do, right? It's something a sister would do, not a complete stranger. So that's incredible.
SubhanAllah, you're right. But imagine that we were Muslims, you know, together in South Africa. I was a non-Muslim.
Powerful.
That is very powerful. So the power in the behavior to do good. And I just realized that I came from a culture that had sadly become quite mean-spirited. Because, you know, I come from a culture where you make appointments with your sisters. You know, so I'll come around next week. No, that's not suitable. Wednesday we've got this and Thursday we've got that. And it's nothing real. It's nothing big that you couldn't move. But it's like the diary, the calendar, the stuff is much more pivotal than the people.
I see. So they prioritizing the schedule over the relationship.
That's exactly it. You're right.
Okay. And so you started feeling this warmth, and what did that do to your heart? How did that affect you?
Well, I mean, you know, I spent a lot of time kind of tearing up. I mean, they must have thought that this woman's having a nervous breakdown. I was crying every day. It's like, why are you being so nice? What's wrong with you?
I was overwhelmed.
Yeah, okay. That's it. Okay. You know, so it's overwhelming. And then, of course, what happens when you go back to your hotel room, you think, would I do that? Have I ever done that? How do I do that? Can I do that? I want to be that.
Oh, wow. That's powerful. So you started taking all those emotions, reflecting on it, and then wanting to embody it.
Yes. But, you know, and then of course, Shaitan gets involved and says, well, you're never going to do that. That these people, and you know, that then you can get into a mindset, and I think this can happen to all of us, where you know, when you meet somebody and they're so good that they put you in their shade, and that you almost feel like giving up. It's like, because you're never going to be an Abu Bakr, a Siddiq, because you're not going to be an Umar, Shaitan wants us to feel like failures rather than being inspired. So I guess that when you don't know how to start on the path, giving up is sometimes the easier way.
Yes. Well, from a psychological perspective, anytime you make comparisons and you try to live up to someone, it really makes you feel a bit defeated. And rather than being inspired, if you feel like, oh, and this happens in Ramadan all the time, I'm not reading as much, I'm not doing as much prayer, or some women who are, you know, bogged down with their kids. They feel they're not doing as much. And that comparison can actually lead a person to stop trying. But we really need to just compete with ourselves. I think that's an important point. When you do your absolute best, you get that inspiration, but you don't have to be exactly like anybody else. It's just about doing your effort. Mm. So you started feeling that. You wanted to take this on.
Yeah, absolutely. And what happened was when I went back to the UK, I thought, okay, so those people are from another planet. I didn't think at that point that the Palestinians were human. I thought there was clearly a spaceship that crashed a few thousand years ago, and they're amazing because, you know, so they're extraordinary. But then I started working with the Islam Channel, and gradually I began meeting Muslims in the UK. Mm-hmm. And of course, when I came to Islam, when I took my Shahada, or am I jumping ahead too far now?
No, that's fine.
Alhamdulillah. When I took my Shahada, and everything changed, and then there was a real unveiling. Mm. I mean, it was like if people had been generous before, now it was to be enveloped in a whole new world of family. I'll give you an example. So please. I went to a mosque straight after taking my Shahada. It was a Jummah, and I stayed until the evening prayer, till Maghrib. And there was only about two ladies in at this point. And one of them saw me and said, would you like to, please, you have to come to my house to dinner. And there's that element that British people would never do.
Right.
Okay, British people are, yes, let's do something. Let's do something means
let's
never speak to me again.
let's meet up.
Never going to happen. Never. Don't call me. I don't want to know you.
Right.
It's a snowball. Okay. It's a snow screen. So I'm like, yeah, sure. She's like, no, go and get your children. Here's my address and come around tonight. Mm. So I said to the children, we're going out. Now, having been raised as British kids, they were like, but we don't know this person. Who is this person?
Strangers, you know, right? Like,
why are we going to a stranger's house? I said, they're not strangers. They're lovely people. You know, they're Muslims. We're now going to be family, you know. No. So we go to dinner, and it's actually in Ramadan, subhanAllah. Where we have this lovely dinner, and the minute we take off our shoes, the weirdest thing happens. I just want to relax.
Mm.
Now, here's the thing. In non-Muslim households in Europe, I'm going to say, no, that's not fair. I'm going to say in London, in modern London,
okay.
You go in with your shoes, you stay in with your shoes. Sometimes you even keep your outdoor coat on, you know, just in case you want to leave quickly and it's boring. Sometimes you might take your coat off, but that's going too far, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Here, we took off our shoes, they put rugs around us, they fed us, and then they said, would you like to stay the night?
Which was
bizarre, because they were in West London and we're in North London.
Right.
And you know what? Here's the really weird thing. My two British kids said, Mom, can we please stay the night?
Oh, they felt the warmth and the love. That's beautiful. That is beautiful.
And so as weird and as uncharacteristic and going against every grain of my culture, I really wanted to stay the night. I never wanted to leave. I just wanted to be mothered and loved and in this wonderful. And of course, you feel the prayer. Brothers and sisters, you know when a house has lots of prayers in it.
Sure.
You know, the
peace and the serenity. You feel that when you walk in.
You do. And non-Muslims access that too. You should know that. SubhanAllah, we might not show it because of our, you know, our politeness, but we it's lovely. So they cleared a room and they said goodnight. And in the morning I came down and I realized that room had been the couple's room and they slept on their living room floor.
Oh my goodness.
Allahu Akbar. In the 21st century.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. For strangers. They gave up their bedroom and gave you the bedroom. That's amazing. What a beautiful way that you know, I think it's also an indication of your heart and, you know, Allah guided you and put these beautiful people in your path to just soften your heart and to be able to experience it, you know, because not everyone has that same experience. And sometimes they face some, sometimes it's, you know, they experience harshness or people who may not have developed the characteristic and then they have to overcome those experiences. But I'm so glad that you've had this beautiful experience. And we want to know about how to adopt this, right? Because we are talking all about the ibadah during our Ramadan experience, the fasting, the reading the Quran, and this whole series is about taking all of our ibadah and beautifying our character, because that's you know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to complete our character, and it's the heaviest on the scale. So how can we adopt this kind of mentality, the hospitality? And is it just for guests, or is it also something that is like about being inclusive of everyone that we are around?
So let's begin with how we are taught by the examples of the Sahaba. Okay.
Yes.
And the Sahaba famously, there's many stories, but one in particular, there's two actually that I'm going to tell. And one is a man knocked on the home of one of the friends of the Prophet, one of the companions, and was asking for either money or some kind of business support. And he said, and the Sahaba said, "Thank you so much." Hmm. He said, "What are you thanking me for?" "Because you've brought barakah to my door." Aww. And this idea that we are not giving to the person, that we're giving to Allah. Mm, now, of course, right. Allah doesn't need us to give anything, but what he's allowing us to give what we have as an access point to him.
Yes.
Right? Yes. So the person who comes asking, whether it is, you know, somebody coming for dinner, or whether it is a charitable cause, it's, "Wow, you knocked on my door. That's a good sign."
Oh, you that's know, lovely.
Yeah, be really delighted and actually excited about that. So I think first and foremost is there is no asking. There is no such thing as somebody asking you. They're asking Allah through you.
So seeing it as an honor rather than, because a lot of times people see it as being burdened, or, "Oh gosh, I'm being asked to do these things for the favor or the amount of money I have to give." But you look at it as, this is an honor. It's an honor that you've been chosen to be asked or called upon. And so making that, you know, the mindset shift is very critical. So you have a positive outlook towards being asked and to give.
You're right, sister. And the other thing is, because you are counseling people day in, day out, it can be very, very hard to notice that this goes on all the time. So I just want to reiterate that sometimes we focus so heavily on the few, the rare cases where this doesn't happen. And we forget the many cases when it's going on right now in the plentitude around the world. The Ummah of Rasulullah is overwhelmingly beneficent and chosen to be good to mankind.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That is just, you know, the optimism in it, the reflection on the beauty was just incredible. Mashallah. I love that.
Alhamdulillah. So that's the nature of the giving, if we're talking about charitable acts. Now, with the guest, so remember, I wasn't born a Muslim. Mm-hmm. And I noticed early on that when I said my Shahada, that rather disappointingly, mm-hmm. all of the qualities of the Prophet, peace be upon him, didn't just land on me.
You didn't wake up one morning, just all those characteristics.
No, I was still a bit rubbish. I was still had all my stuff going on. Right. And I was like, okay, I felt better. Don't get me wrong. I felt like it could all be sorted because Allah was with me, but I'd have to do something.
Right.
And so what I realized quite early on was, boy, I got even more respectful of Muslims because when people would visit my house and they'd come at 1 a.m, it's like the question in my mind to my husband would be, "Shall we go and pick them up at the airport?" And he'd look and go, "What is this question? Are you even Muslim right now?" And it's like, "No, but it's 1 a.m. He's like, no, not even possible, not even a thing. And so, phew. You know, and I just want to say to all of you guys out there, all your brothers and sisters, just love the stuff you do naturally. Just every day say thank you that I find this easy, because it is an element of love that Allah Ta'ala has given, and everybody else has to work really, really hard just to get to your ground level, you know. Alhamdulillah. So what I've learned in the 10 years, to put into place to overcome that, you know, those kind of resistances. And we all get busy. Have you ever been busy and you've been expecting guests for ages and looking forward to them coming, and then on the day you're like, oh, I'm not ready, and I'm gonna
it's not clean enough.
Yeah, something's burnt. The kids are doing this, and I'm not really in the mood. I'm just not in the mood. And then that's where the Islam comes in. That's where we say, oh Allah, thank you for bringing this guest and the barakah with them.
Oh, the blessing.
And then the blessing. And just to see that when that doorbell rings, that's the blessing arriving at your door.
Oh,
and also to see the people as just, you know, innocent souls who want to be loved and looked after. And that's your moment to shine. Allahu Akbar, it helps me.
Lovely, lovely. That's your moment to shine. When you have a guest, barakat is ringing. Did y'all hear that, sisters? Ding dong, barakat is at your door. It's not Amazon. It's blessing at your door. And to just see it as such a something to be grateful for. Mashallah, that's a beautiful perspective. And what about extending that hospitality? So just not only in your homes, right? Because even in our masajids, many times people may not have that inclusiveness, right? They tend to maybe get together with their own kinds, with their own people, with their own languages. And everyone wants a clone of themselves. You know, someone is, you're looking for your clone and you're like, okay, now you're perfect. But then everyone else, they're problematic. And so it's this idea of having hospitality. I think even in gatherings, even in masajids where we're inclusive and make everyone feel welcome rather than making anyone feel left out in any way.
You know what, please, I think it's for all of us, myself first and foremost, is especially in the masjid, we should all have our eyes peeled for the person with the sad face, with the person who's new, with the person who's on their own, with the person who doesn't look like us. That's exactly the person to spend time with at that moment. You know, you scratch the surface and you're going to find a story and maybe a need to be fulfilled.
That's so, actually, it reminds me of a story. It was, I think, 2 Ramadans ago, right before the pandemic. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I had not slept that night. It was tahajjud time. And I was one of those, you know, just thinking, okay, when are we going to finish? It was like, I was really exhausted. So I was not in the right mindset. Just wanted to go home and sleep. And as we were going out of the masjid, it was very, very crowded. I noticed, you know, a Western lady. And subhanAllah, the timing of it, right? Because if we were not going down the stairs at the very same time, I wouldn't have talked to her, right? So I see her and I'm like, oh, hello, you're new here? And she goes, yes. I'm like, so how long have you been a Muslim? She's like, I'm not a Muslim. I said, what? I go, are you married to a Muslim? She's like, yes, I'm married to a Muslim. And I said, okay. I woke up. I was like, okay, I need to wake up and see what is the story. And I said, do you know that millions of Muslims are asleep right now and you're here at the masjid? There's a reason for this. Like, how is it? And as we start talking, she goes, yeah, I'm curious. I'm interested. No one has ever really talked to me at the masjid. She's like, thank you for talking to me. You're the first person who talked. And I said, of course. Like, I felt so humbled that I had that opportunity. And so as I started talking to her, she goes, yeah, I'm very interested in Islam. 2 o'clock in the morning. And I start asking her, do you believe in Allah? Do you believe in the Prophet? Do you believe? And we start going through the pillars of faith. I said, would you like to give your shahada? And she ended up taking her shahada with the ladies in our masajid outside. And I said, subhanAllah, like here I was exhausted. I just wanted to go home and sleep. But just taking a moment to acknowledge a new face and just asking about her. Like, I didn't assume. I was like, how long have you been Muslim? And as she explained, and I felt like that was a beautiful gift for me. And it was, so it's just about taking that time to acknowledge and talk and reach out and connect and ask questions. Those are so important as part of hospitality of our deen.
You know what? That's so beautiful. And I love that you're covering hospitality of the Deen, because you could have asked a different question. And as a white British Muslim, this is the question that my daughters and I have got over and over again. Not necessarily how long have you been Muslim, but are you Muslim?
Mm.
You know, yeah, and that's when we're in hijab, we're clearly praying. what more do we have to do? We're doing tarawih. Are you Muslim? I mean, I don't know. I'm just hanging out here. I was looking for a nightclub, but like this seemed a familiar. What?
Right? Are you Muslim?
Hello.
No, I wear the safana. I love getting dirty looks in the street. You know, I love it when people are racist to me. You know, it's great.
How do you love it? Tell me. Let's reflect on that. How do you love people giving you racist looks?
Exactly. You can't possibly, right? It's not possible. Yeah. So clearly you're a Muslim. So asking how long have you been Muslim? Would you like a chat? Do you want a cup of tea? That's the hospitality linked to the masjid. That's our opportunity right there. You know, what if somebody came in from the cold, but Allah Ta'ala was about to guide them? I've heard so many, probably like you, amazing stories about people who went into, you know, the wrong house and it happened to be a masjid upstairs, but they ended up taking their shahada because they believed when it's the right time. But beyond that, not above that, because we always want people to be close to Allah Ta'ala. Beyond that is our duty just to be kind to the traveler.
Yeah.
And the person who, you know, if we see our masjid as an extension of our home. And I really felt that, you know, when I first went to mosques, I was like, the kids are playing, the mums are eating.
Yeah.
Whereas in church, it's like all things bright and beautiful. It's like you have to dress up and you have to sit really stiff and don't look a certain way. And it's a very alienating, odd experience. Right. Whereas in a masjid, you sit on the floor, you can lean back, people are chatting, kids, there's laughter.
Right.
What's that about? I've never heard laughter in a holy place before. So it really is an extension of our homes. And I think once we start seeing it like that, you know, that then we can really host people, inshallah.
I love that. I love that. And I always said we need to have like a hospitality crew in the masajids where individuals, let's say they're volunteers, and they kind of look out for the new people, welcoming them, because you never know, the person who is at the mosque, they're there probably because they have a heavy heart. Probably they're experiencing loss. Maybe they are, maybe they're asking for guidance. Maybe they're there for the, you know, it's their last bit of hope, right? And so how we interact with them, how loving we are, how welcoming we are, that may make the difference between someone staying in Islam and someone leaving in Islam. And I think whenever we want to, let's say, give advice, we need to really be aware of that they might be hanging with a thread, and a slight harshness or slight, you know, exclusion may make the difference. And you push them over the edge.
You're so right. And I've met too many sisters who have been pushed over the edge and left Islam, unfortunately. And there's, you know, there's the wonderful son of the Prophet, peace be upon him, where we are told in hadith that if you speak a language and the third person doesn't understand what you're saying, bring them in.
Amen, sister. Amen.
Yeah.
Because this is something that happens all the time. When you just feel excluded, there's a language, they're talking, and you can't even take part in it. So it's just rude. It's absolutely rude to do that. Mm-hmm. So thank you for bringing that to light. Thank you for sharing your beautiful stories. I loved it. And inshallah, please let us know, where can the sisters, where can they follow you? I'm sure they're inspired and they want to know more about you. Where can they go to get your information, inshallah?
Well, alhamdulillah, I've been in the media for a quarter of a century now.
MashaAllah.
Amazing, right? Alhamdulillah. And I love to share my skills with our community. So I have a course on a major platform called Teachable. And the course is called Find Your Voice. So if you go into the Teachable platform and you put in Lauren Booth Find Your Voice, then you can find out all about the course.
Excellent.
And I'd like to offer all of your friends, followers, and people, viewers watching this, you can put in FYV special, and that will give you
FYV as in Victor. Okay.
FYV for Victor special. And that's a coupon that you can use to access the course. And,
great. Sisters, we got a coupon as well. Just like a lot of for your generosity and your hospitality. We've just been an honor to have you, and I really enjoyed our discussion. Jazakallah khairan.
Thank you so much, sister. You're always a light in my heart. May Allah Ta'ala bless you and give you the best Ramadan yet and answer all your du'as. I mean, and everybody out there as well. Allah bless you.
Ameen. All right. Lovely seeing you. I hope to see you in person, inshallah. Love you too.
Allah bless you.
Assalamu alaikum. You too, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for tuning in. Assalamu alaikum. Bum 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 b